Today's shiur is Masechet Gittin Daf Pei Tes, and we will begin on Daf Pei Ches Amud Beis at the Gemara of four lines from the bottom. The Mishnah at the end of Daf Pei Ches Amud Beis discusses the concept of a call, of a rumor. If a rumor was spread about a woman that she's married or she's divorced, we accept the rumor. Ask the Gemara, Vasrina La Gavra, meaning just because there's a rumor regarding a woman, we accept that rumor. If there's a rumor that she's divorced, we wouldn't let her marry a kohen, etc. Ask the Gemara, Amar of Ashi, kol of the bas nesuin. We're going to learn later in our shir, after any rumor that comes out about a woman after nesuin, lechashinala, we're not concerned about that rumor. So the question is, why are we concerned about this rumor? So the Rishonim asks, Tosfos asks, it's a very interesting situation, this Gemara. The Gemara is asking a question on a Mishnah from a Moira. We know that the Moira has to be consistent with a Mishnah. A Mishnah doesn't have to be consistent with an Amoira. And because of that question, some Rishonim actually changed the Gemara's question, that the Gemara's question is on Rav Ashi. How could Rav Ashi have made this statement when it's not consistent with our Mishnah? Furthermore, Tosfos asks, Rav Ashi's statement was kol of the bas nesuin. Any rumor after we have established that a woman is married woman, we don't accept any rumors. So if there's a rumor that a woman is divorced, beforehand we wouldn't accept it once we know she's married, for example, to the kohen. Perhaps our Mishnah is talking about a rumor that came out after Erisin, not after Nisun. And then it wouldn't be contradictory to Rav Ashi's statement. So Tosfos says two terutzim. One terutz is, the Tosfos says, our Mishnah doesn't seem to differentiate between Nisun and Erisin. So to start making that difference doesn't really fit right in what we learned in the Mishnah. Furthermore, says Tosfos, as we're going to learn towards the end of the Shir Mitzvah, the Gemara says that even though Rav Ashi made a statement regarding kol of the bas nesuin, actually the same din applies even after Erisin. After a woman is mu'reses, we don't accept any rumors. So that teretz isn't acceptable lahaloch lemaisa. Answers the Gemara. The Gemara, hachikamah. This is the way to understand our Mishnah. Yotze shma bi'ir mekudeshes. If there's a rumor in the city that this woman is a Mekudeshes, Harez a Mekudeshes, we assume she's married. Mekudeshes u'megureshes. But if there's a rumor that she's both Mekudeshes and Megureshes, Harez a Megureshes. Why? My Tama, we don't assume that she's still married, because kol v'shavim bari imoy. Right away we have a kol, and right away with that kol, the kol is being broken. Why is it being broken? Because it's saying that she's no longer married. And that's what the case of our Mishnah is. That's the case that our Mishnah is referring to. Mefarshim discuss, when the Gemara here says, kol v'shavra imoy, what does that mean? Does that mean that the rumor that she was married and the rumor that she was divorced have to come at the same time? Or is it enough that the rumor that she was married and then that the rumor she was divorced came at a later time? The Mefarshim also have a machlokas Rishonim here. Will this woman be allowed to marry a kohen? On one hand, she had a kol that she was Mekudeshes and a kol Mekureshes, so they cancel each other out. And we look at her as she has no kol at all, and she's a regular single woman. On the other hand, we should perhaps, I think the Rambam takes this approach, be concerned that she's at least a Mekureshes, and therefore she should never marry a kohen. Amar Rava. Yotzla's shame is zana be'ir. If there's a rumor that a woman acted improperly, and we're trying to discuss why is this ramification, why would we need to know, what does it make a difference? So there's a number of pshatim. One pshat is, if she has this rumor that she acted immorally, so she's not a psula. So if she gets married, she's not entitled to the ksuba of a psula, which is Masayim, 200 mana. She's only entitled to ksuba of a bu'ula of 100 mana. Another question the Rishonim say is relevant is, does her husband have to divorce her if she doesn't act properly? Another nafgamina is, a kayid may not marry a woman who had immoral relations prior to her ever being married. Machlokes Rishonim, what does that mean? Does it mean if she had relations with somebody who does a chiv lav, or is it only somebody who had a chiv kares? So it's very relevant, this rumor. So Rava says, Ein choshen la. We're not concerned about such a rumor being said about a woman. My tama, pritzis uba almuhu d'chazala. It was really just, they saw her acting not so fine, and that's why they assumed that she did something even worse. But we don't necessarily believe that. Says the Gemara Ketanoi, this question is really a machlokes Ketanoi. Ochel b'shuk, we see a woman eating in the street, gilger b'shuk, or walking in a non-tznius fashion, hinika b'shuk, or nursing a child publicly, v'kula mermeya imetetze. Regarding all these situations, Remeya says that the woman should have to leave her husband. Rekiva said, or leave her husband, or leave the chazaka being kosher. Rekiva Ima, Mishiyisnu v'yitnu ba, Mizorus bovana. As soon as women who sew, and it used to be the custom that while women would sew, they would talk to each other. So if the women, while they're sewing, speak about this woman, that she acts immorally, we assume that she's not to be accepted. Amar Rabbi Yochanan Nuri, so Rabbi Yochanan Nuri says to them, Im kain lehinach debas lavram avinu, she yishevis tachas bala. No woman can ever remain with her husband. As the Mefarshim explained, unfortunately, almost everybody has somebody that doesn't like them. So here we have a woman that maybe the other women don't like her, and they'll start spreading rumors about her, and they'll break the marriage. That Torah Amra, ki matzah ba ervis davar, urahalon oimer, apishnaim edem apishloish edem yakum davar, ma lahalon davar borer. The only time we say a woman has to leave her husband is when there's clear testimony, afkan davar borer, otherwise we don't break the marriage. So the Shamat Shion Malacha makes an interesting observation. But the Gemara wants to point out that everybody has somebody that they don't like. The Gemara says, "Lo yinach the bas l'Avram Avinu." Why are we bringing Avram Avinu into the Gemara? So he says, because if we think about the history of Klal Yisrael, who was greater than Avram Avinu? He was the first of our avos. Chesed l'Avram. Avram Avinu was such a tremendous tzaddik. But even somebody like Avram Avinu, says the Shem Tzion Malacha, not everybody was sappy with him. And so that's the way it is in the world. And therefore, this woman, just because people are speaking about her, we don't go and break her marriage. On the other hand, I saw the Mefarshim ask, the Gemara says, in Masechet Ksubos, that if a woman doesn't act bedas Yehudis, she doesn't act like a Jewish woman is supposed to act, teitze, her husband should divorce her b'lo Ksuba. So we see that if a woman doesn't act properly, we do terminate the marriage. Or we do, and here we're saying that we don't. So how do we reconcile the two Gemaras? So Mefarshim explained that the two Gemaras are not contradictory at all. That Gemara is giving a husband advice. If you see your wife is acting inappropriately, that's not a wife you want to keep. That's that Gemara. Our Gemara, on the other hand, say the Mefarshim, is speaking halacha. Are you required to divorce her? And for that, the Gemara says, that for Rabbi Yochanan Ben Nuri says, we can't halachically require them to get divorced. Tana Rabbanan, Be'ula, and Chosh Shalom. If there's a rumor that a woman already had relations, we're not worried about that rumor. Where's that rumor relevant? It's relevant as far as, again, we spoke earlier about her ksuba, what kind of ksuba she's entitled to when she gets married. It's also relevant that the Torah says to a kohen gadol, ki im besula be'ama v'yikach isha, a kohen gadol is obligated to marry a besula. So if there's a rumor that this woman is a bula, she's not qualified to marry a kohen gadol. So Gemara says we're not worried about that rumor. Nesua, if there's a rumor that the woman was already married, ain't chashin la. So here, Rashi and the other Rishonim ask the obvious question. Our whole Mishnah, which started this whole sugya, is that if there's a rumor that a woman is Nesua, we're concerned about that rumor. Yet our Gemara is telling us, Nesua ain't chashin la. We're not worried. So how do we reconcile these two, the Gebraisa with the Mishnah? So Rashi and Rishonim explain. The Mishnah, and it really qualifies what the Mishnah says. When the Mishnah says that if there's a rumor that a woman is married, we have to be concerned about that rumor, is only a rumor that came out that day. That means today we always assume that this woman is not married, and there's a rumor that this woman got married today. Then and only then do we have to be worried about a rumor. But if there's a rumor about a woman who we know not to be married, and a rumor comes out that she got married a week ago or whatever in the past, that the Braisa teaches us we don't have to be worried about that rumor. Arusa. If there's a rumor that the woman is an Arusa, Ein Choshenlah. And here we have a very interesting Machloikas Rishonim, how to understand this. Some Rishonim explain the din about Arusa, similar to the way they explain the din about a Nesua. That Arusa, we know, we're going to limit Sechta Kedushin very shortly. Arusa is the first stage of marriage, first stage of a Jewish marriage. And the Braisa is teaching us, if a woman we know to be single, and all of a sudden there's a rumor that she's an Arusa, unless the rumor is that she became Ressus, today we could discount the rumor. That's how many Rishonim learn the Gemara. Ritva has a very interesting way of learning the Gemara. Ritva says that as in our conversation, the word mureses, even though as we said a moment ago, halachically means that she's an Eishes Ish, because it's the first stage of a Jewish marriage, many people use the word mureses as engaged. So they say that's pshat in the Braisa. The Ritva says that's pshat in the Braisa. Arusa, if there's a rumor that a woman is an Arusa, we don't say that she's married, because we assume that when people called her Arusa, they meant she's engaged. Engaged doesn't really have a halachic status. She's still a single woman when she's mu'resis. Shloi l'plani, if we can't identify the name of the person who she's married to, ain't chai shloi, we're not worried about the rumor. Bir acheris, if the rumor says that it happened in another city, ain't chai shloi, we don't have to worry about it. Mamzeris, if there's a rumor that a woman is a mamzeris, ein choshenla, we don't have to worry about it. Shivcha, if there's a rumor that a woman is a shivcha, ein choshenla. Higdish plani in the chosof, if there's a rumor that somebody was magdish some of his assets, hifkup plani in the chosof, ein choshenla. Why? So Mefarshim explain, because even though we're learning the sugya of the power of a kol, a kol has no power regarding dinei mamonis. And higdish and hifkur have financial repercussions. So I saw the Mefarshim ask, the Paiskim ask, a very interesting question based on this. Many, many Paiskim, the Shulchan Aruch already discusses it, many Tshuvas from discuss a question, if there's somebody who is appointed to be a chazan, a shlich tzibur for a community, and then there are rumors that he acted inappropriately, when do we remove him from his position? When don't we remove him from his position? We're not going to go into all the details. But the question is, this is a rumor that has a financial ramification. We're talking about a chazan who gets paid for his position. Al Gemara just taught us that whenever there are financial ramifications, we discount rumors. So how could we take a chazan away from his position just based on a rumor, even if it's a strong rumor? So the Paiskim say a very interesting teretz. They say, just like the Shulchan Aruch lists all of the qualifications that a Baal Tefillah has to have, one of the qualifications of a Baal Tefillah is that he's not allowed to be a person that has rumors swirling about him. So it's not a question of finances. He's disqualified from being a Baal Tefillah, just like someone who can't daven for the Amid. He doesn't have a good voice. He could be a wonderful person, but he can't be a chazan. Similarly, a person who has rumors about him is disqualified from being a chazan. It's not a question of mominus. It's a question of who is qualified to be a Baal Tefillah. Omar Ula, but Ula says now and again, speaking about what kind of rumor we have to take in consideration, Lo Shishamu Kol Avara. It's not just you just heard a rumor. It has to be some substance to it. They saw candles lit, or mitzvahs mitzvahs, and the couches set up, or b'nei adam, and the chnas of yaitzim, we saw people entering and exiting a house, and people say, and you ask people what's going on here, and they say, plainness miskadeshes hayoyim, this woman is getting married today. Then, and only then, do we consider the rumor. Ask the Gemara, even if that's the case, what did they hear? They said, miskadeshes, that this woman is going to get married. But maybe Dimalayakdisha. Maybe something happened and the marriage never happened. So how can we count that as a rumor that we have to be worried about? Says the Gemara, it's not enough that they heard that people said that this woman's getting married today. If that's what they said, we wouldn't be concerned. What they were saying was, Ema Plinus and Skatcha Yoim. We saw all of these very circumstantial evidence that she got married, coupled with the fact that people said that she was actually the Kala. The Cain Tani Levi, very similar. Loi she yishma kol avara. It's not enough that she heard some sort of a rumor. El kadei she neres talkois umitos mitzos v'nashim tavis lara ner. There's so much light. They used to put up a lot of lights by Simcha. So the women, there's so much light coming out of that hall that women could sew to that light. The smeichas loi and everybody's rejoicing. V'omer plonis miskadeshes hayoyim. Ask the Gemara the same question, Miskadeshes, if they're saying that she's getting married, but Dimalai Ligdisha, maybe she never ended up getting married. Amra Papa, Ema, Plain and Skachi, and with all the other circumstances, also they said that she actually got married. Amra Rabba Babachana, Amra Bioichan. Loi Shishama Kalavar, again, it's not enough just that you hear a rumor, Kadeshi and Neris Dolkos, their candles lit, Omitis Mitzos, Ubne Adam Nichnos of Yoitzim, Vamru Dovizet, Amru. And they said, "Dov zeh hu kol." That is considered a kol that we have to be concerned. Lo amru dov zeh. Lo amru dov. If they didn't say anything, zeh masla. That's considered a masla, which our Mishnah explained that even if there is a kol that we have to be concerned about, but if there's an amasla, a legitimate excuse, a legitimate understanding why that call should not be followed, then we don't follow the call. So says Rava, difficult words, the Gemara is going to explain them right away, that if they didn't say anything, that's considered a masla. Says the Gemara, loy amru, if they didn't say anything, v'loy amru v'loy klum. So what's the point? How can we consider that an amasla if they didn't say anything? All they said was the woman is married, and nothing else was said. So where's the amasla here? Says the Gemara, what the Gemara means to say is a different psak, which is relevant to Gemara, we're going to learn later. Lafuki medrabi rafuna, doma masla sha'omra afil mekan vajyujomim. Rabbi says that not only is an amasla effective, but Rabbi says an amasla is effective even 10 days later, if the masla comes out many days after the kol came out. Kamash malon, loy omru hu dahav amasla. Ha'omru lahav amasla. The only time, according to him, is an amasl acceptable? Is if they didn't say to me, if they said it immediately. If they didn't say it immediately, we can't accept the amasl. Amar, Rab Abba, Amar Rav Huna. Eloi shesham kol avara. Again, it's not enough just that we should hear a rumor. El kadei shiyomru pleini mehecha shama. We have to ask the person, from where did you hear this rumor? And he says, mepleini, I heard it from this individual. Or pleini, mepleini. And that individual heard it from that individual. Or Borkin Vaholchin, and we continue examining at Shemigin Ladav HaBor until we reach the source of the rumor. Ask the Gemara, if we reach the source of the rumor, Dover HaBor, Eidus Malisahi. So we have real testimony. So this has nothing to do with a rumor. It's testimony. And from here, the Rishonim extrapolate. Even though the Gemara uses a Lashon Yachid, Pliny Mipliny, one individual for one individual, it must be that really the Gemara means two individuals, because we know there's never an Edus with less than two individuals. It's not enough that you should hear a rumor. You have to hear exactly from where did this person hear. He heard Mipliny, or Mipliny, Mipliny, V'hochalam Lamdina Siyam. Aye, so why don't we go back to the source? Because the source isn't available. Interesting shaila that Rishonim discuss. Here the Gemara says that we identify the source of the rumor, but the source of the rumor is not accessible. They traveled overseas, and they didn't live in a world of telephones. What will be the halacha, debate the Rishonim, if they identify the source of the rumor, but he died? Will we say it's the same as he went to Medina Sayyam, and that's considered a call? Or do we say that Medina Sayyam, although this individual is currently not available, he potentially is available. But somebody who's dead, you could say anything that that person said, he said, and you'll never be able to verify, because even in our technology, you can't talk to dead people. And therefore, they say that if the Edim, or the people who are identified as the source of the rumor, passed away, that's not considered a kol. Ask the Gemara. Amar Abayla Rav Yosef, mevatlina kol or lo mevatlina kol? And Rashi gives two explanations to the Gemara's question. One explanation is that if we start examining the rumor, and we see that the source of the rumor is really not a very strong source, is that a good enough reason to nullify the rumor, or do we still have to stay with the rumor? Or, the other way Rashi explains, is that there was a rumor that was established. So, halachically, we accepted the rumor, and then we did further investigation, and we recognized that the rumor is unfounded. Do we say that that rumor should not be considered, or not? Amalei, mid-Amar Rav Chisda, until Rav Chisda said, at sheyishmu mipik sherim, that when we investigate the source of a call, we have to investigate that every individual in the chain who passed this rumor on was a kosher witness. Why do we have to identify every person as a kosher witness? It must be because otherwise we will discount the call. And the Chasam Sofer actually points out, from here we see that every person along the chain has to be a kosher witness. So if the rumor has, as rumors do have the way of working this way, went from one person to the next. As long as there's one person, according to this opinion, in the chain, who's not a kosher witness, the call is automatically null. Amalei, Adrabba, Midamar of Sheshis, Afila Bepin Noshim. We see that even people who are normally not qualified witnesses are qualified regarding a call. Shema Mina, Mame Vatlin and Kala. As soon as the rumor starts, we follow it. So what is the halacha? Asrus Rasa Ninu. It really depends on different places. The Surah Mevatli Kala, and Surah, the custom was that they would nullify a rumor, but Nadar Lemevatli Kala. So I saw the Rishonim say beautiful Peshat in the Gemara. The Rishonim say, this is usually when the Gemara has a question, a halacha question, so we have debate between Amorim, between Tanam, have different opinions. Here we find a very interesting thing. It says, the Rishonim say, depends on where you are from. In this place they did, in this place they didn't. Why does it depend on where you live? So Rishonim explained, there is really no halachic machloikas here. The machloikas here is that in certain places, they were very quick to start and spread rumors. In those places, where they're very quick to start and spread rumors, many of them are false. And therefore, in such a place, we could discount the rumor. In other places, they were more careful, and they weren't so quick to accept the rumor. So when a rumor is really there, there's strong reason to believe it's true. In such a place, we don't nullify a rumor. And with that, we could understand the Ramah. The Ramah paskins that we have to be concerned about a rumor. And if you look into the Rishonim don't necessarily say that. And if you learn the Gemara, we see from our Gemara, from what we already learned, the Chazal were very quick to discount the rumor. So why is the Ramah accepting the Chumrah, the stringent position? So Mepharshim explained, because the Ramah doesn't know what is considered a place that rumors are considered widespread, and what is considered a locale where rumors are not considered that frequent. Because as we're saying, that really makes the difference. And he didn't know what, the Gemara doesn't give a shear, what is considered a place that rumors are common, and what is considered a place that rumors are uncommon. So the Gemara says that every city we have to be concerned is a city where rumors are uncommon, and that's why Lama Vatlin and Kola. Hahid Nafakallah called the Igdisha, Lababe Rav. There was a rumor that this woman got married to this yeshiva student. Asra Chama Lavua. So Rav Chama came to her father, exactly what happened. When she got married to him, there was a condition. The condition that was made was that the chosin is not to go to Bechazoi for Ozel, and he went. So the kedushin should not be considered a kedushin. So he said, we have here in a maslo, but since the maslo did not come out at the same time as the rumor, Kivin the Anna have a kol, or I have a masla. The masla and the kol do not come at the same time. Lav kol kaminach the maachsach a masla. You can't now create an a masla. It's too late, and we consider her because of the kol as a married woman. However, the Gemara says a different story. Hayid nafakal a kol at the igdisha. There was a rumor about this woman that she got married, but sifah the tochla. A sifah the tochla is when you have dates, particularly when the dates are not really ripe, and you pull the fruit off the pit, sometimes some of the fruit remains on the pit. And the rumor was that she got Mekudeshes, the Chosin used the remainder of the fruit on pits of a date. Where was the wedding? In a place called Enid Beis Shefa, by the river of Beis Shefi. Shochar of Ida Be'avil Kameder Rabaya. He asked him the following question. Kegav Demai, is this considered a kol or not? Amalei, a feel of Mandomer, Lama Vatlin and Kala. Even according to Mandomer, then typically we don't discount a rumor that was already accepted, but Homa Vatli Kala. This is a call that's easily discounted. Why? Neima Amri, because it's a very easy way to discount this rumor. Ainaba Rabbanan, the Rabbanan investigated the circumstances of the Kedushin. Ainaba Rabbanan B'Kedushay, for Lava Shapruta. It's very understandable that the leftovers on the pits of a date don't have any value. And that's why everybody will understand, since the rumor began, that that was the vehicle of Kedushin, it'll be very easy for everybody to understand that that really has no value, and that's why it's not even considered a masla, it's considered stronger than a masla, and we can easily discount the rumor. Says the Gemara, there was a rumor that this woman got married to one of these, to somebody's son. Even according to the psak, or to the minig, as we said in Oman Aleph, that we don't discount the rumor, here we can. Why? Again, they said that she got married to someone's sons. This man had a number of sons, and she got married to one of the sons. And people knew that this man had a number of children, and some of the children were still ketanim, which is very understandable. Everybody was able to understand that the Kedushin were Kedusha cotton. Says the Gemara, there was a rumor that this woman got married to a person who was actually a cotton, but he looked like a gadol. And that's why it's easy to make a mistake that the marriage is a real marriage. There was a situation like this. They said, he's still a cotton because he hasn't reached the maturity that you need to have when you're bar mitzvah. So the way Rashi explains the Gemara, that the way the rumor started was because they had this cotton who was a big boy. So everybody thought that he was a gadol, but then they recognized that he was on the bar mitzvah. And a child on the bar mitzvah is not considered a bar das. Who is the model of a bar das? So Gemara says Reuven is the model of a bar das. And the Mefarshim try to understand, why is Reuven considered the model of a bar das? So I saw one pshat that we know that Reuven had the story that he gave to the Dodoim. He collected flowers for his mother Leah, and he ultimately gave them to Rachel. Rachel wanted those flowers. So the B'nai Yisoska says a very interesting pshat, that when did that story happen? It happened on Shavuos. And Reuven, already as a young boy, was able to know that Shavuos is a time for flowers. That's B'nai Yisoska's pshat. Other pshatim were, the truth is, how could Reuven give the flowers away? Reuven lived by his father Yaakov. And we learned the Masechet Ksubos, that when a child finds anything, he's obligated to give it to his father. So how could he go give the flowers to Rachel, to Leah? They're not his, they belong to his father. So the Mefarshim say that Reuven, as a young man, already became independent. Because he was very mature. And he didn't rely on his father for support. And that's why he could do what he wanted with the flowers. This is a pshat that I saw from the Klozim of Rebbe. But there's another interesting shot that Rabbeinu Chananel says in this Gemara. Rabbeinu Chananel says, we're used to learning that a child, until he's bar mitzvah, is not considered a bar das, and a child, after bar mitzvah, the halacha considers him a bar das. The Rabbeinu Chananel says that the halacha is not that way. He says that sometimes you could have a child that's on the bar mitzvah, but is mature and is a bar das. And that's exactly what he says happened in the Gemara. They saw that this woman got married to this cotton, and now they examined his maturity, and they saw that he wasn't of the maturity of being a bar das, that his actions should count. And the Ksav Sofer is very troubled with the opinion of Rabbeinu Chananel. He says, because if so, that if a katan is a bar das, we already consider him a bar mitzvah. So he asked a very easy, simple question. We know, the halacha is very clear, that let's say we would have a katan. Somebody we know is not 13 years old. Would go over to a woman, be mekadesh the woman, harayat mekadesh sli, it's meaningless. He's a katan. But why, asked the Ksav Sofer, according to Rabbeinu Chananu, should we not be concerned that we now have a married couple? Because maybe he's the katan that's a bar das. So one teretz that the Paiskim say is that it's very rare that a child on the bar mitzvah should be considered a bar das. So it's a miyuta de miyuta, and the halacha is never concerned about a miyuta de miyuta. Another pshat that I saw, very interesting pshat, the Ksav Sofer's pshat, he says like this. He says, why do we need to have Edom at a wedding? The reason you need to have Edom at a wedding is because Edom give permanence. They make the thing serious. Says the Ksav Sofer. From here we see for a marriage to be considered a marriage, it has to be a certain marriage. And that's what Edus lend to a marriage ceremony. They lend credibility. If you have a chosin who we're not sure is he katan or is he gadol, that is the least credible event. And therefore, even if the Rebbeinu Chananel is correct, we don't have to worry when a katan on the bar mitzvah made a kedusha. Says the Gemara, Ovach lo yitesha b'masla. As we mentioned earlier, the Mishnah already taught us, if there's a masla, and a masla breaks the kol. Om Rav Baruch Huna, a masla sha'amru, afil mekayim v'asar yomim. According to Rav Baruch Huna, the masla doesn't have to be set today. The masla could come out 10 days later. A debate amongst the Rishonim. When Rabbi says 10 days, does he mean 10 days? After 10 days, even he will agree it's too late for the masla. Or other Rishonim say, when he says 10 days, it doesn't mean specifically 10 days. He says, the point is that the masla doesn't have to come out immediately. Rav Zvid Amar B'makam Amasla Chay Shishim Amasla. And what Rav Zvid means, say the Rishonim, is that if we have reason to believe that there's an Amasla, if we reason to believe that there's no kol, that we could accept it even though we don't actually hear our masla. Here too we have a debate amongst the Rishonim. A Rabbi and Rav Zvid arguing, or they're not arguing, each one is saying a different kula, each one is saying a different leniency in Hilchos Koilos. Eisvei, Rav Popular Rav Zvid, how could you, Rav Zvid, say, as long as there's room to have it a masla, it's already considered a masla, let's look at the wording in the Mishnah. The Mishnah says, so the Mishnah clearly indicates that you have to have an amasla. And without an amasla, we're not going to say there's a masla. So the more you have to change pshat in the Mishnah. Amar b'mokam amasla kamar. What the Mishnah means to say is, if there's reason to believe there's an amasla, we accept it. Amalei Rav Kahana Rapapa. V'atloi Tisbara. Are you not going to agree to this? But not. The Mishnah says, M'sechta Yevamos. Niskatcha. There's a woman who was married with Erisin. And an Eid Echot comes and says that her husband died. So she has Erisin, and we have to watch these words very carefully. She had Erisin with another man. V'achach bo bala. And then her first husband shows up. So says the Mishnah Masechta Yevamos, Mutaris Lachsul. She could go back to her first husband. La Mishum Damrinan. Why? Because we could assume an amasla. What's the amasla we assume? That Tanai Kaddish. That when the second man made Kaddushin, it was made on a condition. If your first husband isn't here, isn't alive, then the Kaddushin is a Kaddushin. If not, it shouldn't be a Kaddushin. We didn't hear that clearly. We're only assuming that. So isn't this a clear proof that an assumption of an amasla is enough? Says the Gemara, you can't ask a question from there. Shani Hassan, the Kasa Bava Kamaru. The first husband shows up. And the fact that the first husband shows up is clearly a proof that she was never Mugareshes and there was never a second Kedushin. Ihachi, says the Gemara, if you're saying that the cogent point is the fact that the first husband comes, so why is the halacha that Nisus? We remember we learned the Masechta Yevamos. The Gemara says that if a woman's husband disappears, an Eid Echot comes and says he's dead, we accept the testimony of an Eid Echot. However, if she not just has Erisin with the next man, if she has Nesuin, And as we learned, it's not just, not only Nisuin, even if she didn't have Nisuin, if she was Nechnasa L'chuppah, if she had a chuppah with a second man, and now her first husband comes, she can't go back. Why? She was an Inus. She thought the first husband is here. And here again we should say, isn't this the biggest proof, the fact that the husband is here, that everything was a big mistake? Says the Gemara, misses the of the Isur Kansur Rabbonim. A woman that had Nisuin in such a circumstance did a knas, because did something wrong. Because as we learned the Masechta Yevamos, how do we rely on 1-8? All of a sudden we're relying on such a serious matter of 1-8. So we learned in the Gemara, Isha Daika Mintzvah. A woman is careful that she won't get remarried. Why? Unless she really knows her first husband is dead. Because she recognizes the repercussions. Because as the Mishnah taught us in Masechta Yevamos, if her husband shows up, Asur Labal, Rishon L'Sheni, she can't go back to the first husband, and she can't remain with the second husband, and the children are mamzerim, very serious repercussions. So really, you're right. She should be able to go back to the first husband. But here it's a knas. If she got married to a second man with Nisun, that she's not allowed to go back. But where did Chazal make the knas? Nisus, when she actually got married to the second husband, Dov the Yisur Katsur Rabbonim. Niskatcha, the law of the Yisur Katsur Rabbonim. Any call that wasn't confirmed by a Bezdin, love kolahu. Vamar Vashi, as we said at the beginning of our shir, call the boss in the suah, any call that comes after in the suan, loy chashinullah. Ask the Gemara, call the boss Erison. From Ravashi, it seems that if the call came out after Erison, chashinullah, we would be concerned. Says Rav Chaviva, even though from Ashi that's what it seems to be the din. However, Rav Chaviva said, I feel the bus of Arison, even a call that comes out after Arison, Loi Chashin Allah, we're not concerned for it, and that is indeed the din. Vilchasa Loi Chashin Allah. Amr Rav Yirmi Ba'aba, Sholchalim Bei Rav L'Shmul, Yilamdeinu Rabbeinu, Yotza Le Kol Mirishin. If there's a call that came out from the first husband, and then we see a second man makes a full-fledged kedushin with her. Mahu, what is the din? Shalchalhu, she responded, Taitse, she should leave the second man, but please investigate the matter and let me know. Mai, asked him, what did he mean? Ilema, di megali milsa, the kedusha, the kamalav kedusha ma'alyaninu. That if it turns out that the first kedushin wasn't really a valid kedushin, mevatlin and kolo, we will nullify it. Ask the Gemara, how could that be? For nador, as we learned on Amun Aleph, nador was asri the shmuhu. It was Shmuel's place. V'loy mevatlin kolo. That was a place where we didn't nullify rumors. Says the Gemara, Ella, what it meant was the imigalia milsa the kedusha kama kedusha ma'alyaninu. If it turns out that the first marriage was 100% fine, let's get a get m'sheni. We don't even require a get from the second husband. We won't count that marriage at all. We'll completely rely on the call. Upligid Rav Huna, and says the Gemara, this is really against what Rav Huna taught us in Masechta Ksubis. Don Rav Huna, Eishes Isha Pashta Yad V'Kibbe Kedush Ma'achar. If we know as a woman to be a married woman, and now we see that this woman accepts kedushin from another man, we assume that kedushin is a kedushin. Why? Because the statement that Rav Hamnuna made. Dom Rav Hamnuna. He should show Amr Labal Girashtani. If a woman says to her husband, "We got divorced. Na menes. We trust her. Why? Chazaka hein isha meiza paner b'fnei bala. One woman would tell her husband, "You divorced me," unless it was true. No woman would tell her husband, "You divorced me," unless it was true. Chazaka ein isha me'izah b'vnei b'fnei bala. V'idach, ki it. So here too, the fact that she accepted kedushin from a second man is the greatest proof that she was divorced and the first kedushin was terminated. Says the Gemara, so how could we accept and say that we don't count the second kedushin? Says the Gemara, ki itma d'Rav Hamnuna, when the Rav Hamnuna make a statement, only b'fonav. If a woman tells her husband, a person that we know to be a husband, we're divorced, then we don't trust her. We trust her because she would have never said it unless it was true. However, shloi b'fonav, if he isn't there, me'iza, she doesn't have the chutzpah, there's no chutzpah involved, and she'll say it. And that's why this case, where she accepted the kedushin from the second man, the first husband wasn't there, and since the first husband isn't there, so he's correct in saying we don't have to count, if we know, and it turns out that she was indeed married to the first man, we don't have to worry about the second kedushin at all. It's interesting to note that the Rishonim make a number of qualifications. Here the Gemara is saying that if we see a woman telling her husband to his face, you divorced me, we accept her. I saw a number of exceptions the Rishonim say. One is, let's say a woman, we know that a Ketana, her father can marry off. If, let's say, a woman had a Kedusha Ketana, there we are concerned that she's Me'iza. Because it's really not a marriage that she chose. It was a marriage she was forced into, so maybe there she's Me'iza. Similarly, the Rishonim say, let's say they only had Erisin, which, as we said so many times in today's shiur, she is considered a Neshes Ish. But a woman who only had Erisin with her husband, so there isn't such a strong bond between the husband and wife yet, and therefore she will be Me'iza to this man to say you divorced me, even though it's not true. However, most important to us is that the Rama, this is all the Paiskim say, that this chazaka doesn't apply nowadays. We live in a world of chutzpah, the Paiskim say. And even though the Gemara says a wife who is married to a husband, a full-fledged marriage, would never have the chutzpah to tell her husband, you divorced me, unless it was indeed true, nowadays we live in a different world, chutzpah yaske. We live in a world with a lot of chutzpah, and people will say something so brazenly not true. Says the Gemara further, Lematzu davar burya. If they couldn't find clarity, what is the halacha? Says the Gemara, Amar Rav Huna, begarish rishen, v'noisi sheni. She divorced the first husband and married a second one. Ava megarish sheni, but she doesn't have the option of divorcing the second husband for noisi rishen. My tama, oslameima, machzik rishus or menerusin. People are going to say that she was niskacha. And Allah is, once a woman even had kedushin after a get from the first husband, she can't go back to her first husband. Rav Shinna Bereder of Idi, however, says, Af Megarish Sheni to Noisarishin. She can't have a get from the second husband and go back to the first husband, because Maimi Amri, why are we not concerned that people are going to say that this is a situation of an illegal machzik rishasoi? Maimi Amri, people are going to say, Ain Rabbanan b'kedushay. People, the Chazal, the Rabbanan checked the second Kedushin, and it turned out to be a Kedusha toss, an improper Kedushin. Yotzala kol mizeh mizeh. There's only a rumor regarding both marriages. There's a call regarding the first husband and regarding the second. Omer Rapapa. Rapapa here too says, Megarish Rishon v'noisi sheni. She has to divorce the first husband and not stay with the second husband, again, because of the concern of machzik rishasoi. Ameima Omer, since here it was only a kol regarding both marriages, Meteris L'Shneim, she could marry either of them, the Hilchasa, and that is indeed the din, Meteris L'Shneim.